For several Sundays now, we've had Matthew's gospel telling us about different groups plotting against Jesus. There was the disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians that tested him, and the Sadducees just tried to trap him. And then now we hear this morning the Pharisees themselves come to test him. This word test or tempt is used 6 times in Matthew's gospel, and Jesus is always the object of the testing. The first time he was tested was when the devil tested or tempted Jesus in the wilderness. So every other time this happens, there's kind of a whiff of Satan in it. The gospel says the Pharisees gather. It's the same word used when the Jews gather for worship or when Christians gather for worship. This is precisely what Jesus came to do, was to gather all the children of God into the kingdom of God. But this is a different kind of gathering. This gathering of the Pharisees is not for worship, but entrapment. In that sense, it's almost like a satanic gathering. And one of the Pharisees speaks up and begins by calling him teacher. It's kind of ironic because a student doesn't test the teacher. The teacher tests the students. And let's pause there just for a moment. How often does it happen that you and I are not just seeking truth, but testing the church, let alone testing God? God needs to explain to me the problem of evil. Isn't it rather humanity that needs to account to God for evil? And there's nothing wrong with having questions. Questions are good. Nothing wrong with asking good, honest questions. But are we more like the Pharisees sometimes, not with honest questions seeking answers, but with testing questions? God, or the church, needs to explain to me how creation and evolution go together. Well, the church has been doing that for over a century now. Are we more interested to prove the church and God wrong than to listen for the truth? And while we're at it, let's go for one more. The church and God needs to prove to me what's so wrong with contraception. Now, I'll admit that I myself struggled for some time to try to understand the church's teaching there. But to be honest with you, I think the topic of contraception is maybe one where we can be a lot like the Pharisees. No matter what Jesus says to them, they're not interested in listening. They're not listening. They just want him to be silent and no longer bother them. They want only to hear their own voice, not his. The church has an incredibly beautiful, compassionate, and science-informed teaching about marital love and how contraception works against that. But sometimes, like the Pharisees, many of us are more interested in constructing God in our own image. And then we just have to listen to ourselves rather than in hearing the authentic voice of the Lord instructing us in the best way to live. There's a saying in the church, faith seeking understanding. So I have to begin with faith, with trusting the one that I'm seeking understanding from. Otherwise, I am just like the Pharisees, who keep asking questions but never listen to the answers. If you don't like the church's teaching, would your heart really be changed if Jesus himself spoke to you? The heart of the Pharisees were not. Didn't matter to them that the Lord of creation spoke to them in the gospel this morning. This one Pharisee tests Jesus by asking, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Right? They believe there were 613 commandments, at least, and they just wanted to pick a fight over one of them. But hear and see what Jesus does here. The whole group gathers, right? The whole group wants to trap him. Jesus speaks to the one who speaks to him. One at a time, he comes to us. And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This man comes to Jesus with a closed heart, maybe with enmity in his heart even. And Jesus says to him, love. Open your heart to love. You have to love. You must love. And don't hear this as just a quote he's quoting from Deuteronomy. That's really clever of Jesus to do. These are the words of God in Deuteronomy. This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking his own words to this man. You have to love. And not just with your mind, with your thoughts, theoretically. You have to love not just with your heart, but with all your heart. And not just with your soul, but all your soul. With your whole being, with every part of you. And this love must be triangular, or it's doomed. You must love God first and neighbor second. Love necessitates all three: God, you, and your neighbor. I can't say I love God while hating my neighbor. That doesn't work. It's just not real. And to attempt to love just one other person without God, to love my neighbor without God, give my whole heart to this one other person and that's it, it'll always end up being more selfish than love, than truly loving. Where do you push God out of your relationships? Where do you say, this is mine, and I don't want to share, even with the God who created and formed me? Where do we say to God or to the church, mind your own business. This is private. I want to hold on to this. The first and most important question, which really is, it's a decision, really, more than a question, is to decide, do I believe that God is wholly good? Do I believe that I can trust God in everything? Do I believe that I can trust the church that Jesus himself founded? Individuals in the church, including priests and bishops, are sinful. I'm a sinner. But the church herself, as the body of Christ, has a teaching that is true. If we choose to trust Christ, which means we also must trust his body, the church, then we're ready to pursue understanding. Then we're ready to be formed holistically by God. Then we're ready to love triangularly, you, God, and neighbor. Then we'll begin to finally throw off the hardened heart of the Pharisees. We'll begin to become true disciples of the Master who loves us first. God always and eternally loves you first. Here's the homework for the week. Name something this week. Take some time and name something where you don't trust God or his church. And then pray for a loving and listening heart.